Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Hi, I'm Father Cedric Pazenia, the host of Live with Passion. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program. I want to share from the Gospel of Mark. It comes from chapter 10. It goes like this. Jesus was setting out on a journey, and a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him a question. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? There's no one good but God alone. You know the commandments, do not kill. Do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And he said, teacher, all these I have observed from my youth. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And he said to him, you lack one thing. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. At that saying, his countenance fell. And he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. In the gospel story, this young man was on a search. And it's interesting because he had it all. He had youth, he had money, he had fame. One of the gospels says that he was a ruler, he was young, and he had money. So he had everything that the world says that you got to have to be happy, yet he wasn't happy. Do you know that inside of all of us, we have what I call a happiness meter? It's kind of like a speedometer or a thermometer, has a little needle on it. And deep within, if you really look and you examine your heart, you can tell whether or not you're happy. You got to be honest with yourself. Because I remember when I was a young person, I would wake up in the morning and I'd start to stretch. And all of a sudden, I said, I'm not happy. And that began my search for God. So within us, we have what I call it's kind of like a homing device, this happiness meter. So listen to your heart and let that happiness meter drive you. I wasn't happy, so I came to God. This young man wasn't happy, he came to Jesus. But the sad thing is, he went away sad, unfortunately. When Jesus told him, you know, give everything that you have and follow me, his face fell and he went away sad. That is such a tragic story. Unfortunately, statisticians tell us that 80% of our young people by age 25 have fallen away from the church. 80%! That is so sad. And why is that? Perhaps it's because they're not getting their needs met. They're not hearing something inspiring. Maybe services are boring for them. I'm not sure. I remember one time I was at a service. I was just sitting out there. A mother and her daughter were there, a teenage daughter. After the homily, the young girl turned to her mother and said, Mom, I didn't get anything out of that. I felt so bad for her because our young people deserve to get something out of that because God has created them and God is calling them to eternal life. And unfortunately, many of them are falling away. One time I was preaching. It was in Orlando, Florida. I'll never forget this. Big, rich church, St. Stephen's. State-of-the-art sound system, marble sanctuary, very wealthy community, and I preached the gospel there the best I could. And as I'm leaving, this young man, he had gold chain around his neck. As I was walking out, he grabs me by the arm, and he reminded me of the story of the rich young man. And he pulled me aside. He said, Father Cedric, he said, I need to talk with you. So right away I went and I talked with him. And this is what he said. He's probably 16, 17 years old, again, wealthy, young, good-looking. And this is what he said. He said, I want you to look around this church. And I did. And he said, it's beautiful, isn't it? And I said, yeah. State-of-the-art sound system, marble sanctuary, the whole thing. He said, my parents have poured thousands of dollars into this building. They talk about it at supper. And he said, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, they drag me to Mass. And he said, I don't get anything out of it. He said, I don't know the God to whom this building has been built. The only reason I go to Mass, the only reason I go to church is because Mom and Dad make me come. He said, but when you were up there preaching, he said, I sensed something. I sensed that I needed to talk with you about this. And to me, that's exactly what was happening with the rich young man. Apparently, he had heard Jesus preach and it sparked something within him. You see, I believe that our young people are open to being touched by God. They all know, they all have this homing device within them that God is true and they want to know. The one thing I like about this young man in the story is that he asks questions. That's the beginning of wisdom. The book of wisdom says the beginning of wisdom is the desire to learn. Ask questions. So if you're a young person watching this program right now, ask questions. Let your questions lead you on a quest, on a journey. So what I told that young man that came up to me in Orlando was, I said, keep asking the questions. Jesus said, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open, ask and you shall receive. And that's exactly what happened in my life. When I was hungry, when I was thirsty, when I wasn't happy, when I was asking all those questions, I came to the Bible, I came to the scriptures, I came to prayer, I came to Jesus, and I asked questions because I really wanted to know. And God is so faithful. When you ask the questions with a sincere heart and you're willing to make a sacrifice and turn your life over to God, God will answer those questions for you. And He answered the questions for me. He touched me in a real powerful way. This story has actually changed lives of people. The story about the rich young man in the Bible. Anthony of the Desert, this is a man that lived in the 200s, about 250 or so, was a rich young man, 20 years old. He heard this story about the rich young man in the Bible, and he felt that God was talking directly to him. He went out into the desert, lived to be about 100 years old, maybe even more, and he lived a life of prayer, dedication to Jesus. And so he will live forever. But unfortunately, this young man that fell away, we never hear from him again. So we're all faced with a choice. Ask the questions. Look within. Are you happy? And especially if you're a young person right now, I believe that Jesus wants to touch you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. That comes right from Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a young prophet. In fact, when God called him to be a prophet, he said, I'm too young. And God said, don't say you're too young. Says in the scriptures, the prophet Joel, your young people will have visions and your old people will dream dreams. So in other words, what God is saying is that you're never too young to have a vision and you're never too old to dream a dream. And I'm believing that young people will be touched. And hopefully those of you who are watching my program, as you hear this, you will look within and say, am I happy? And ask God questions. Be sincere. Be honest. In your prayer life, just don't spit out words. Ask God the questions that are in your heart with sincerity, with honesty, and be willing to give your heart to God and watch what happens. So I remember also another young man. His name was Francesco, lived in Italy, and he was a partier. He loved the high life. In fact, he had a nickname, the Dancer. And he went through a tragedy, a suffering. He got captured. They were in a city-state war there in Italy. He got captured, held in prison for a year. And when he went through some suffering, and by the way, oftentimes, and this happened in my life, oftentimes suffering is a way that God will reach into your heart and touch you. And if you're going through a suffering of some sort, could be a breakup, could be a physical suffering, maybe you lost a parent, whatever it is, God will use that. Because the name of this series is called God is Good All the Time. All the time God is good. And because God is good, and that's what Jesus said in the gospel, no one's good but God. Because God is good, He will use every situation in your life, even the tragic and hard situations, to reach out to you through those situations. So just because you're going through suffering, don't think that God's punishing you. God is about to promote you, to bless you, and to use that situation to actually bring you to a deeper life in Him. So Francesco went through this suffering. He was held in prison for about a year. He gets out of prison, and the city-state war is over with, and all of his friends come to him, let's go party, you're the dancer, let's have fun again, let's get the girls, and he said, no. During that year, I've changed. During that year, I sought God, and God didn't abandon me when I was suffering, and I'm not going to abandon God now. In fact, he was wealthy also. His mom and dad were wealthy clothing merchants, and he gave up his inheritance like Jesus had asked this rich young man to do, and he gave himself to Christ. Strip himself naked right before the bishop and all of his friends and parents and said, I have no father but my heavenly father. Of course, I'm talking about Francesco of Assisi. Francis of Assisi became arguably the greatest saint that ever lived because he was touched as a young person. And as I said, young people have such potential to be touched. Did you notice how Jesus looked at this young man? The young man was struggling. He wasn't happy. He wanted to know. And Jesus didn't look at him condemning, saying, you know, you've sinned and you've done all these things wrong. It says in the scripture that Jesus looked at him with love. And that's the name of this program, the look of love. It's the same look that Jesus gave Peter. If you remember when Peter denied him three times as Jesus was taken to be judged, Jesus gave him a look. And it wasn't a look of condemnation or why did you deny me? It was a look of love. And Peter wept bitterly. Because that's the way Jesus is. He loves. He doesn't condemn. God sent his son into the world not to condemn the world, but to love the world. I remember when I was a young man, I was in high school, eighth grade English class. I was sitting there with all the other students. And as I'm sitting there, the teacher made his way over to me with a book. And he gave me this book. And with the book, he gave me a look. And it was a look of encouragement. And I noticed that he wasn't giving a book to anybody else. He was just giving it to me. And I looked at the book, and the book was Dickens' Great Expectations. And I knew what he was doing. He was saying through that book, Cedric, I see something in you. And that look was a look of encouragement, a look of love. And I'll never forget that because he said he was showing me that he was telling me through that I had potential. And that's exactly what Jesus does for young people when he looks at young people. He sees your potential. He sees your possibilities. And he knows that you can become, first of all, you can live forever, become somebody eternally, but you can realize your potential now. So I want you to visualize right now Jesus looking at you, not with condemnation, but with love, so that you will realize your potential. As I said from Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans not for your defeat or woe, but plans for your welfare, plans for a future, plans that will prosper you. I remember I went to World Youth Day. We just had the World Youth Day in Panama City, Panama. That was back in a few months ago. And I remember I went to a World Youth Day in Denver, Colorado. That was back in 1993. I've never seen so many people gathered in one place. It was like 500,000 people in Cherry Creek State Park, maybe up to 1,000,000. They're not even quite sure. Many of them teenagers, people in their 20s, all gathered with Pope John Paul II, all gathered to celebrate Jesus, to celebrate God. And I remember during the homily, during the sermon that John Paul II preached, he tried to encourage people. He tried to encourage the young people to own their faith and not to be afraid to share their faith, to become all that they can be. So our church is highly invested in our young people. We want you to become all that you can be. And to become all that you can be, we're inviting you to come to faith, to receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the grace of God. Our church needs you. And we call out to you, don't leave, be a part of the community and make a difference. You can do it. So I remember years ago, I was actually a youth minister, and this is how I started off in ministry as a youth minister. I gathered young people, this is in St. Louis, Missouri. I gathered a group of young people, and each and every one of them, they were all different, but they all had such a gift, such purity, such enthusiasm, such potential. And I remember we used to do things like athletic events and social type things, and also we would do outreach, helping people. And I couldn't help but love these teenagers because they were so good. And you could see the potential in them all. And that's exactly what the church is saying to all young people. You have potential, you have goodness, you have purity. Become all that you can be. You see, the church is giving you right now not a look of condemnation, not a look of you're not good enough, or not a look of where have you been, but a look of love. And that's exactly how Jesus is looking at you right now. I've had so many good experiences with young people. I remember I was preaching a mission one time in Louisiana, and most of the time the missions, it's like a Catholic version of a revival. Most of the time the mission is just attended by older people, adults. Well, I remember at this mission, it was in the morning. We had Mass at like 9 o'clock in the morning. Every morning from the school, 6 8th grade girls came, sat right in the front pew, and they weren't just trying to get out of school. They had asked their teacher that they wanted to be a part of that mission. They were sitting there right in front of me, and every one of them had this smile on their face, and you could see the hunger. You could see the thirst that they had and how glad they were that they were there. Well, I wrote a book for young people called God's Not Boring. I signed it and I gave every one of them that book because they encourage me. It helps me to see and to know that young people are hungry for the truth, thirsty for the truth. And that's exactly what's going on in this story right here. This rich young man was hungry. He was thirsty. I always tell people, let your hunger guide you. Let your thirst direct you. Let your unhappiness even lead and guide you to the fullness of truth. So these young girls made a real deep impression on me. And speaking of that, I remember I was preaching another time, and this time in Slidell, Louisiana. And I was there preaching about the Holy Spirit. And unbeknownst to me, there were two high school girls there. And after I preached, they came up to me. They said, Father Cedric, thank you. And they shook my hand. Thank you for preaching about the Holy Spirit. We really appreciate that. And they said, we belong to a high school, and we're going to have a rally for God, and we want you to be our keynote speaker. And I said, what high school do you belong to? And they said, well, St. Scholastica in Covington, Louisiana. And I said, well, how many people go to this school? And they said, well, about 800 young people. And I said, well, you know, thank you for the offer and everything, but I think I could probably be your grandfather, and why don't you find somebody younger? No, Father Cedric, you'll be great. Please come. And I saw their enthusiasm, and it melted my heart. There is nothing more beautiful than a teenager that loves God, that is willing to give their whole life to God, and that's what I saw in these two young girls. And so I went to their high school, and I gave a talk to the young people. And I remember when I got there were 800 girls sitting in the bleachers, and I talked to them about Jesus, personal relationship with Jesus, not being afraid, realizing your potential, that Jesus loves you just the way you are. And I remember those young girls stood up and they gave a witness in front of those girls, in front of everybody, and it so touched my heart because when I was in high school, I went to a public high school, I would have never gotten up in front of my peers and talked about Jesus because I didn't know who Jesus was. I had fallen away. I was far from him. But these young girls, they were precious. They were beautiful. And I want you to know that you can be filled with the same Holy Spirit that touched those young girls. And God will bring you to the fullness of your destiny and help you to realize your potential. One time I was hearing confessions at a youth conference, and it was in Houston, and there was a lot of young people gathered, probably about 1,000 young people, and they had speakers and different things, and they had asked a bunch of us priests to come and hear confessions. So I remember I was in a room with about 30 different priests, and as I was there, all of a sudden they opened the door and they let the young people that wanted to go to confession come in. I have never seen this before in all of my life, and I've been a priest now for almost 30 years. I saw the young people, when they opened those doors, run to the different priests to go to confession. They didn't just walk in there. They ran to confession. And I thought to myself, I've never seen this ever. Look at the devotion. Look at the love that these young people have. Look how they want to be reconciled to God. I remember one young man came up to me. He was just about to go away to college. And, you know, he confessed his sins and everything, but what he said was this. He said, I'm just starting college, and I want to make sure I'm right with God, because I want God to bless my future. Oh, I thought that was so good. So I have a great devotion to our youth, because I see such potential in them. There's giftedness, there's innocence, there's potential. And I'm believing that any of you who are a young person, maybe you're not going to church or you've fallen away from your faith, I'm going to invite you to, like this young person in the gospel, ask questions. Come to Jesus in your own private life, your own prayer life, and simply ask him, Lord, are you real? Reveal yourself to me. Help me. If you're going through a suffering in your life especially, I want you to know that it's probably in God's providence. He didn't give it to you, but it's probably in his providence to work through that suffering to bring you back to God. Because if you're like me, I had fallen away until I suffered. If you're like Francis of Assisi, he was living a party life until he suffered. If you're like the rich young man, you probably didn't care until he suffered. He was having a happiness problem. Look within your heart and say, am I happy? And give God a chance and watch what happens. I was up at the Woodlands, that's up in the north of Houston one time, and I was preaching. After I finished preaching, I went to the book table, and I had written about 7 books at the time and wasn't quite sure what I was going to write for my next book. And I remember these 2 women come up to me, and I will never forget it. They came up with a big smile on their face, and they came up to me and they said, we know what God wants you to write, the next book that God wants you to write. And I kind of looked at them and I said, well, what book does God want me to write? And they said, a book for young people. And it hit me like a ton of bricks, a book for young people. Of course, you know, I was a youth minister, worked with teenagers, worked with young people, love them, and I'd never written a book for young people, so I got to work, and I tried to get my best stories, things that are relevant, because one of the things that young people say is that our preaching isn't relevant, it's not touching their lives, so the best I could, I got all these different stories that are relevant and engaging and inspirational and encouraging, and I put them together in this book, and I call it God's Not Boring. That's the name of my book for young people, God's Not Boring. Because when I was a young person, I was bored by Mass, and I thought to myself, if Mass is like this, then maybe God's like that, so maybe God's boring. So I fell away, and that's, remember what I said, 80% of our young people before age 25 are falling away because they're finding the religious service is boring. And they think that God's that way, but God's not that way at all. In fact, in my book, it's interesting, on the cover of my book, I put a person bungee jumping and people on a wave cutter. And the whole theme of it is that everything you like in life, everything you like to do is a gift from God. For example, God's not boring. He gave you life in the first place. And then what are some of the things that young people like? For example, if you like music, think about your favorite music. God created that. God's not boring. And then astronomy, or art, or poetry, or swimming, or surfing, computers, cars, iPhone, nature, mountains, oceans, flowers, travel, water skiing, whatever it is you like in life was created by God, comes from God in the first place. So what you have to do is, you have to realize that God is the author of everything that is good. Now, this is a series called God is Good All the Time. All the time, God is good. So everything in life, the goodness of life, the blessings of life are all from God. And I believe that as you go to church, whatever denomination you are in, if you give it another try, you will sense the goodness of God reaching out to you. Ask God questions, as I said. Seek God if you're not happy, and even if you are happy, he'll give you more happiness. And then be willing to surrender your life to God. That's exactly what I did when I was 18 years old. I couldn't give myself to him fully because I didn't know what that meant yet, but more and more as my life has gone on. And as you give yourself to God, he gives himself to you and brings eternal joy, brings a deep, intimate relationship with him, and brings you a joy that you've never known before. So this young man comes up to Jesus and he asked him, what do I got to do to have life? And unfortunately, when Jesus said, give yourself to me, he went away sad. And that's a tragic story in the gospel. But so many others have come to Jesus and given their lives to him. Francesco of Assisi, Anthony of the Desert, myself, so many others, and have experienced the power and the grace and the goodness of the Holy Spirit. Jesus looks at you right now, not with condemnation, but with love. He invites you to something real, something personal. Come to him, ask him questions, give him your heart, and you will have eternal joy. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizzegna. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.